Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
Friends to come to see you.
Shit.
We've got both of the Corvettes into the pits as expected. It is not a driver change for the four. That is fuel and tires for the gray Cadillac. But for the yellow one, for the number three Corvette, excuse me, I don't know where Cadillac came from. It is a driver change as expected. Antonio Garcia will also be getting new tires. These are sticker tires. It's going to be difficult to get some heat into them. Going back out of the pits first is the 79 WeatherTech Racing Porsche, then the 27 Heart of Racing Aston Martin. Now we've got the Corvette, closely followed out by the three. And then both of the BMWs are in for service as well, but there is a car immediately in the pit box ahead of the 25, so the 24 is pulled back first. And now just waiting for service to finish for the 25. It's a bit more chaotic when they do this final opportunity for pit stops and then cars from both classes can come in because the staggered stops, well, they don't quite work when you've got a prototype right in front of you who elects to take the emergency service like you.
Elio Castroneves. Thank you, Shay. Elio Castroneves in the Mayershank Racing Pits, the Indy 500 champion, four times, sitting wrapped up cozy. He's got his helmet on, he wants to get going, but didn't manage to get on board, didn't manage to wrestle Tom Blomqvist out of the cockpit of the number 60 Mayershank Racing Acura, and we'll have to wait another stint. And he's jiggling around trying to keep himself warm with what looks like multiple pit jackets. Now I see a WeatherTech Mercedes coming back onto the pit lane. Fantastic work from the Proton mechanics to get that number 97 AMG back out and moving again. So we'll have lost a few laps. We'll try and confirm how many, but that's really fast work from the number 97 WeatherTech Mercedes crew. That's the GTD Pro entry. So the 48 Cadillac onto pit road for top up of fuel and a change of tyres as well. Yes.
Well, this car laps down, of course, which is why it didn't come in straight away. Jose Maria Lopez getting the call to stay out. Now will be, I think, just a couple of laps back if he can get out without having to stop. Oh, the red lights are on at the end of the pit lane as he rolls along. Now, let's see, they've gone green. Just as he's coming up to them, they've gone green. So the purple and white Ally Cadillac will go out. Had a new nose and a new tail early on after some raucous behaviour in the mid-pack. Shit, Adam, where are you now?
With Nick Katzberg fresh out of the number three Corvette. That's the bright yellow one. It hasn't been the best race for Corvette racing, but so much valuable learning. How much better is it when you guys can test and be out on track with other cars as opposed to on a track all by yourself?
No, this is definitely nice to be able to kind of understand the tire better and to see where we are compared to the competition. Obviously, we are kind of out of the race, but Corvette will never give up anyway. So this is a good learning for us, and it's very valuable time now to understand the tire better and the way we have to kind of set up the car around the tire.
Do you feel like going into Sebring, you're going to be much better off than coming into Daytona?
I think so, yes. I mean, we're learning and learning more, so this is valuable time, and hopefully we can kind of have a better car to start with in Sebring.
How difficult is it to get heat into the tires? Because you guys have the best burnouts on the pit lane. That's got to do something, right?
Yeah, the burnouts are awesome, but that's only the rear tires. Unfortunately, the fronts are still taking a very long time, and it's very, very tricky out there. It's super cold, so you have to be really careful, but so far no accidents, so all good.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you.
Very good to hear from Nicky Katzberg there. And the just a quick run through before we go back to green in GTD. There's a number of cars on the lead lap at the moment. Zachary Robichon leads for the number 16 at Wright Motorsport Porsche with Phil Ellis in the Wynwood number 57 Mercedes. The 32 Gilbert Shorthoff Mercedes of Scott Andrews is third, with the Aston Martin, the Magnus Aston Martin of Johnny Adam from Kirkcaldy in Scotland. He's in fourth. Jordan Pepper for the number 70 Inception McLaren, and also Tony Wielander in the AF Corsa Ferrari. So despite that big scare for that 21 AF Corsa Ferrari, they are on the lead lap in GTD. In GTD Pro, we have five cars on the lead lap at the moment. Lawrence Vantor leads for the KCMG Porsche team, with Austin Sindrick, who's driven superbly at the wheel of the 15 Proton Mercedes. In third is Felipe Nasr on his debut for the Porsche factory in the Plaid Pfaff machine. And Jack Hawksworth for Lexus, Vassar Sullivan Lexus, number 14 GTD Pro entry, after a couple of penalties earlier on, a couple incidents earlier on. They're back in the game as well. And Daniel Serra also in the very quick number 62 Risi Competizione Ferrari as well. So in the GT categories, it is so close. But unfortunately, bad news for fans of the WeatherTech Mercedes, is back into the pit lane and has gone straight behind the wall. So whatever issue we thought was repaired, unfortunately, something is still underlying underneath that big front-engined machine, the big brute. And the WeatherTech mechanic signalling for the car to come back.
Did that drive back? Yes, it did. That did drive in. Yeah.
Oh, that's such a shame for that crew.
They have not had any kind of look, have they?
No.
In this race.
No. No, no. The WeatherTech operation, I mean, obviously, you have to take your hat off to WeatherTech Racing to bring so many cars here. For Cooper McNeil doing double duty in two different cars, not easy to adapt back and forth, and big effort. It's just not been their day. But that is why the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona is such a prestigious race to win, because, well, it's so difficult to win, because stuff like that can happen over a 24-hour race. You're putting man and machine through a lot of stresses. A pretty dejected El Bamber looks at the Ganassi mechanics going to work on the 02 Cadillac. They will be back. They will be a force in the IMSA WeatherTech Championship in 2022. Make no mistake about that. Alex Lynn drove very, very well at the turn of midnight when he was behind the wheel. And they've got a fast car and very, very fast drivers indeed.
So, fuel problems. Even with a secondary pump. I thought it was interesting there. You know, you've got an endurance car, you try and double up on everything. So a secondary pump still didn't kick it in. Now, there's some... Earl Bamber is just dejected there as he walked through, arms folded. It's awful when things start to go wrong at this part of the race. You're about to go into the last third of the race. There's Michelin Endurance Cup points up for grabs in 50 minutes time, and you kind of feel you're broke in the back of the race with the sun about to come up, the smell of sausages and bacon cooking in the hospitality. You've almost got to breakfast time. You've gone through that 13 hours plus of night time. Really, really cruel endurance racing. Looks good down on the beach, the Daytona beach down at A1A. And just starting to come to life. Many of you coming back to the track, I know. 107.9 FM, Sirius XM 202. And we've delighted, in fact, to say that Sirius XM have come on board again for 2022, which means every WeatherTech Sports Car Championship race will be live in its entirety with no interruptions, for those of you so equipped in the USA and Canada. So if you are moving around, I know we had a few Canadians earlier in the race tuned in who were moving around, screenshots of their car dashboards. So that is always an option for you as the season progresses. Of course, if you haven't got that kind of equipment, you can always just connect your smart device to your car and stream via imsaradio.com. Use the internet. Always live coverage of qualifying and the race as a minimum, although we've done all the free practice sessions here as well for WSC, and he said World Sports Cars there, but it might as well be, really. Now, safety car lights are out. The BMW M4 in the fetching shades of Sao Paulo will accelerate away as it exits the new back straight chicane. Same chicane, new name, Le Mans. And the first chicane on the Ligne Droite du Nadier. The road down from Le Mans to towards Tours, the old main road, now being bypassed by a péage, a toll road, but still very popular, particularly with lorries, actually. HGVs. The first chicane, that's the one that goes to the right, first of all. Curving entry to that, just beyond the old 24-hour restaurant there. And that will now be known as the Virage Daytona. Coming back to green then, Acura. Tom Blomqvist leads from Ricky Taylor in second, Tristan Vautier and Tristan Nunez. Top four still on the lead lap as they head down towards turn one. The Acura with a decent jump away, just half a second at the line. Little lot ups behind in the LMP2 category, led by Tower Motorsport. So Ferdinand Habsburg in the lead now from Racing Team Netherlands. Rinus VK and Devlin DeFrancesco for Dragon Speed. They're all on the same lap as is Scott Hofinger. So top four in P2 and top four in DPI still on the lead lap in their categories.
Scott Dixon in the 01 Cadillac V Performance Academy machine. Although a number of laps down, showing absolutely no quit at all, trying to get his way to the front of the DPI pack and try to start getting some laps back. You just never know. Now, some penalties coming through. Car 97, that's the WeatherTech Mercedes that's hit issues working on car in a close pit. Stop plus 60. I mean, that's just rubbing salt in the wind. It'll be quite inconsequential there. Car 4, that's the one of the Corvettes. Pit lane speed violation again, rubbing salt into a pretty open wound there for that crew as well. But the 62 Risi Ferrari making good progress already, getting past the 15 WeatherTech Mercedes of Austin Sindrick, so wanting to make quick progress to the front of the GTD Pro Pack, which is led by number 2 Lawrence Vanthoor. As the number 9 of Felipe Nasr getting a good draft from one of his colleagues, the 16 right Porsche of Zachary Robichon, with the 62 Risi Ferrari going up on the high side, going up over the around the outside of the number 15 of Austin Sindrick. They are absolutely door mirror to door mirror as they come down into turn one. Serra's going to go the long way round, but Sindrick is too good on the brakes, and we've got two spinners at turn one, one of them rejoining. It's a prototype, I think.
22, it's the 22 of United Autosport and the Tower car. So that is right at the front. That was the leader in the LMP2 class, Ferdinand Habsburg.
No, it was the 11 of Josh Pearson.
Sorry, it was the 11 of Josh Pearson. My apologies.
So
yeah.
The United car spun. There's the 22. I think it's Guy Smith driving that car.
Yeah,
so
it
Guy
is,
Smith,
yeah.
Le Mans 2003 Bentley boy Le Mans winner Guy Smith spins. So if it, there you go, someone of Guy's experience, it shows you how difficult it is on those cold
tyres.
Was
there a coming together? Or was that just synchronised spinning?
Maybe. Maybe give Guy the benefit of the doubt there. But Lawrence Vanthoor again making full advantage of this restart, using the cars behind him to create a buffer in class, as Felipe Nasr getting more and more comfortable with this Porsche 911 GT3R, of course outgoing champion in DPI last year and now racing for the Porsche factory, and will be part of that LMDH program starting in the GTP category next year. in the IMSA WeatherTech Championship. A lot of work to do in development alongside his new colleague Dane Cameron. Of course, a driver very familiar to the Penske outfit. We have daylight, we have sunshine almost here at the World Centre of Racing, and we're back under green flag conditions where we like to be. And now the 62 Ferrari, the Risi Competizione Ferrari, has got past, Daniel Serra has got past Austin Cindric in the 15 WeatherTech Mercedes. So Risi Competizione Ferrari on the march again. And Jack Hawksworth now all over the back of Felipe Nasr for second position in GTD Pro. So the dogfight in GTD Pro continues. And Guy Smith's had to come into pit lane in the 22 United Autosports machine. So maybe a flat spot on those tyres, possibly after that spin. And the United Autosports mechanics go to work on putting on some new Michelin tyres. And folks at United welcomed Joe Bradley and I a couple of days ago. We had a nice cup of Yorkshire tea, as you would expect for the
should expect
outfit,
nothing,
of course.
Nothing yeah. different.
It was
now,
a
just
bit
a moment
restorative.
Moment or two ago, going onto the high banks at turn 6-7,
and Ferdy
in the wall for the leader in that category. Tower Motorsport and Racing Team Netherlands fighting it out in yellow and black cars. Is there a little stripe down the side, a bit more orange for Ferdinand in that Tower car? Down through turn one, pulls to the inside. Everybody gets perilously close, to my eyes, to that tyre stack that is just about on the apex of the first part of turn one. And a couple of people shave it at the Raw last weekend. Was that only last weekend? It feels like a lifetime ago. At IMSA Radio, if you want to get in touch with us, if you're here at the track, let's have your sunrise pictures. All of a sudden, it's got very light very quickly. Officially, the sun's not up for another 15 minutes or so as we come to the 7 o'clock hour in the morning with 6 hours and 40 minutes or thereabouts to go. It's going to get very bright and very warm in our booth as the sun streams into it. That's when we go from feeling like we've been in a cold room to feeling like we're in a greenhouse. But you know what? It's all part of the Daytona International experience. It really is.
We've been talking about this all race week. The coexistence between the GTD class and GTD Pro. The cars are the same. The cars are identical whether you enter the GTD Pro or the GTD class. The only difference is GTD Pro, as the name suggests, is filled with all pro drivers, whereas GTD is a mix of pro and amateur driver. However, the driver at the wheel of the number 70 Inception McLaren is a full pro, Jordan Pepper, and he is actually making a bit of a nuisance of himself for the GTD Pro runners as well, much to the benefit of Daniel Serra in the 62 Risi Ferrari, and much to the hindrance of Austin Cindric. It's actually split. The two classes are splitting each other up, and that coexistence is going to be a huge talking point all season, I think.
Earlier on, the lap record went a couple of times, more than that actually. 133.8 is where it stands at the moment to the JDC Miller Motorsport Cadillac DPI, number 5 in third position. Last time around, a 34 flat for Ricky Taylor tells you how hard he's trying to close the 1 second gap between himself and leader Tom Blomqvist. Our Porsche keys to the race, those milestones, sunshine, sun up morning, we're getting close to that. And the tyres, well, the Michelin tyres have done really good work during the cold night. Michelin very confident that the chilly temperatures that they saw at the Petit Le Mans last November, remember, running very late, that would stand them in good stead here. We haven't actually seen officially on the track and race temperature from Alcamel. We never actually got down to freezing or minus numbers. It stayed at 1 degree in the air, and the lowest I've seen is what we've got now, 3 degrees on the track. It was four for most of the overnight session. Now, that's not to say that that isn't chilly, and that anywhere where there's a bit of wind blowing through, that's going to feel a lot colder than that. Out onto the run down to the Le Mans chicane on the back straight. Drivers are going to start to get the sun in their eyes. Make sure you've got a visor with either a strip on it or something that you can pull down in front of your eyes for the next portion of the race. Tom Blomqvist.
Personal best sector one for Tom Blomqvist. Last time around,
he has to. He's been chased down.
They were both 34-0 last time, separated by 0.04 of a second. So the two Acuras at the front, Wayne Taylor Racing number 10 of Ricky Taylor, and the Mareschank Racing number 60 of Tom Blomqvist, they are absolutely playing for keeps at the moment.
The number 10 Conington Minolta Acura with its tow hitch almost like a gun sight from World War One era, playing ahead of Ricky Taylor, and he's almost got a shot at the lead at the moment. Wow, really close to the wall for the leader there as he turned in and dropped down to turn one. Wonder if Tristan Vautier, Tom Blomqvist was just a little bit rattled. Maybe there was a missile lock there and he got the beep in his ear, but certainly he missed the apex of the first left-handed part of turn one.
Well, the Ricky Taylor going quicker again, another personal best, 1:33.902. We're getting close to the fastest lap in the race.
He's going to lose time here though, Peter, because he's got to go around the TGM Porsche, which itself was being passed by the 42, the white Lamborghini. And in fact, that's letting him into the clutches of Tristan Vautier for JDC Miller, who was all of half a second back when they crossed the line. So Tom Blomqvist stretching out. It gets light so quickly, doesn't it?
Oh, every time I look up and down from the timing screen, I'm like, oh, somebody's put the dimmer switch up a bit more. Amazing, absolutely amazing. Well, that shows you that traffic gives and takes, and Tom Blomqvist has negotiated that traffic, just had the traffic fall at the right places. So Ricky Taylor's got the work all to do again. But those Acuras really boogie when they get that 3.5 litre turbocharged V6 wound up on the high bankings. It really flies. The Cadillac's got the grunt out of the corner, but when they get up to speed, my words. Scott Dixon on the move in the 0-1. He's going to make a move. Oh, not quite. I thought he was going to make a dive there into turn one on the number 5 Mustang sampling Cadillac. So despite being a number of laps down, the Ganassi Cadillac, the performance accessories Cadillac of Scott Dixon, showing absolutely no quit. And what else would you expect from the tenacious Kiwi? 6 times an IndyCar champion, 4 times a winner here, 3 outright and 1 in class. What a driver he is. And yeah, he's got one mode, has Scott.
Steve, delighted to see that those top 4 DPIs after another yellow are still within 5 seconds or so of each other. And traffic is going to be one of the deciding factors. That was our top point in our Porsche keys to the race. That was the big key, to be honest. The guys have done really well. You know, we talked about setup and no dry running this week, and I think most people have got the setup right. So clearly they didn't need nearly as much practice as they said they did, is what I'm going to say to that. I'm only kidding, of course.
I think right now, tomorrow morning or whenever Michelin do their debrief, I've got to think they've all got to give themselves a big pat on the back,
totally,
because this
agree.
Was an unknown for them, and I wouldn't have wanted to be a Michelin engineer yesterday morning heading into the race. But it just shows how much of a window their tyre has and how much
That's
it's capable of.
And
What it can do, and big hats off to the folks at Michelin, because if we've seen it in the past in certain races in the past, if there's been a problem with tyres, it can completely spoil a motor race. So Michelin are carrying a seriously important responsibility, and they build a great tyre. Fernie Habsberg, well, clearly that skiff or brush with the wall heading onto the super speedway a couple of laps ago. He has got away with it just so. He's clearly pushing very hard at the wheel of the number 8 Tower Motorsports Orica in LMP2, leading the way by just half a second from Rinus Vike, IndyCar star, the young Dutchman who has been supported by, taken on the journey to IndyCar by Frits van Aert, the owner of the Jumbo supermarket chain and Racing Team Netherlands. And as we mentioned on air last night, Frits done so much for young Dutch drivers and for Dutch motorsport in general, and there continues to be a huge conveyor belt of fast drivers coming out of that wonderful country.
Yeah, it reminds me of the sort of European version of New Zealand, because they, in terms of their per head of population, they seem to massively punch above their weight, both of those countries, in terms of turning out international, top quality international sports men and women.
Now, a message coming up on the timing screen. Incident involving cars 5, that's JDC. Tristan Vautier, third overall, and the 47.
Right.
Now, the 47 is in a GTD. That's the Cetelar Racing Ferrari. Now, that poor little blue Ferrari has been in a lot of rough and tumble throughout this race. Now,
what was that? I didn't see that one.
No, I didn't see anything. But
it's been a bit of a. It has been a bit of a magnet to issues, that car.
Yes. It has. Oh, I think the Ferrari gets squeezed into the wall actually on the run out towards the super speedway, but will look like maybe Vautier did maybe just squeeze the Ferrari and Giorgio Serangiotto had to back out of it. So we'll see what race control think of that one. They've been just doing a super job. We've been obviously gone off for a bit of a kip, John, but I see the same faces that we left when we left the box last night. It's the same faces in race control.
Looks like it looks
they've
like,
not had a nap.
Looks like the incident that's been reviewed was at turn 6, heading up onto the high banks.
Just a warning.
It does still count as a penalty, and it comes up on the timing screen as such. So we've seen a couple of those. It's a bit of a yellow card then for Tristan Vautier in third position. Top three separated by 5.6 seconds now, with that burst of speed in the low 34s, just having gone away from Tom Blomqvist and Ricky Taylor, and they've settled into a more reasonable 34.9 last time around for Tom, 35.6 for Ricky Taylor, and all of a sudden the gap's out to 4 seconds.
Yeah, there's Tom Blomqvist. I mean, this has been an extraordinary Rolex 24 debut for Tom, really showing his class. And Elio Castroneves still with helmet on, hands device ready, about 3 pit jackets. He'll have to take them off at some point before he hops on board the Meyershank Racing Acura. Could it be 2 in a row for Elio Castroneves? He's getting ready. Elio Castroneves leaping up from the pit perch.
17 laps since the last stop.
It's any minute now.
So about 5 or 6 laps now. So he's been sitting there, suited and booted for quite some time. So he'll be doing a few stretching exercises, getting the blood going into the lower extremities, stretching the hamstrings and getting the knees working, doing a few bends and stretches.
And we're hearing from Shea down in pit lane that Mike Conway is preparing to get on board the number 31 Whelan Engineering Cadillac. Conway versus Castroneves, that's a fight I'd buy a ticket to.
Richard Westbrook, Renger van der Zander, all ready to go in. Get the popcorn. Well, at this time of the day, get the bacon sandwiches. Bacon and sausage sandwich with a bit of omelette and egg on
cappuccino.
There as well. Full breakfast bun, that's what you need. And a bit of coffee, maybe. Get back to steaming hot chocolate, actually, which has set me in a very good mood this Sunday morning.
I thought you were chirpier than normal. Well, even
careful.
Chirpier than normal.
Careful. Does that count as a save? I'm not sure. You were on the lock stops for a while there, okay?
better than the other morning anyway.
It's 12 minutes past 7. Officially, sunup is 2 minutes away. But to all intents and purposes, the long, dark night of the 2022 60th Rolex 24 Daytona is over. Now, what will we see in this next hour or so? Because at Le Mans, quite often at this time of the day, a new driver jumps in. Richard Westbrook is ready to do his job. But quite often we see incidents here. And a problem for the number 66 out on the circuit. Has that car got a...
Oh, it's the Gradient Acura.
Yes, they've been running really well.
Oh, Kevin Simpson, the Barbadian.
Flat tyre reported for the car that was in 7th place. It's just dropped off the lead lap in GT Daytona. 6.5 hours to get back on. That car limping back to the pit lane. It's continuing slowly. Kevin Simpson sporting his Omologato watch that he won for the Formula Regional in this part of the world. Very nice sort of linen-faced watch for him.
We both clocked it straight away,
straight away. Yeah.
Now, GTD Pro has progressed. Well, I say more than progress. Daniel Serra is surging at the wheel of that 62 Risi Competizione Ferrari. I'm sure Giuseppe Risi will be sitting with a quiet grin, I think, at the moment. His car is running very, very well and is off in hot pursuit of Laurens Vanthoor. Serra's had to do a lot of work to get through that GTD Pro field after coming out at the back of the bunch, and has had to get past Hawksworth, has had to get past Nasser, and has had to get past the Inception McLaren of Jordan Pepper as well, and is now in hot pursuit of Laurens Vanthoor. 7.5 seconds is the gap. Now, news on the 66 Gradient Acura.
Shea Adam, that car has not come in. Kevin did not come in to see you.
No, Kevin decided not to come down the pit lane, but rather continue through the tri oval at full speed. Did you see the tyre down? Because that car was not acting as if any of its Michelins were not.
It had a couple of slow sectors, and race control reporting that from observers on the track. Flat tyre car continuing slowly was what we saw about exactly a couple of minutes ago on the race control feed. So that's an odd one. I wonder if that was what was reported by Giffen and they picked up on that. These cars run tyre pressure monitor systems. Really important here, actually, with the high speeds on the banking. The devastating effects of a puncture of any description here really doesn't bear thinking about. At IMSA Radio, if you want to get in touch with us, another half an hour gone. Here's how it stands. We'll start off in that GT Daytona category. Zachary Robeson for Wright Motorsports leads by 2.5 seconds from Jordan Pepper, charging, as Peter Mackay mentioned a moment or two ago, for Inception McLaren. Really good run for the McLaren here, in amongst all of the big guns as far as the German and Italian manufacturers are concerned. Exactly what McLaren wanted with this GT3 car. Third place for Phil Ellis for Wynwood Racing. They've been there or thereabouts all race, haven't they? Let's be honest, with the 57 Mercedes. Then AF Corsa, Tony Wielander in fourth position. It's just another second further back. Now that's the...
Oh, this is a replay of
the accident that happened earlier on for the warning for Tristan Fortier. So he's got to keep his nose clean now. Again, a dive down the inside of a GT car. He was way over the curb, Fortier, and did his best not to have impact. But remember, we had a very nasty-looking three-car incident there early on, and you just can't be making those kind of moves.
Pit work going on in the 01 Cadillac Performance Academy machine. Scott Dixon out of that machine. Renger van de Zander on board now as well. The setter of the fastest lap the last 2 years. And, of course, winner in 2020 in a Cadillac for Windtiller Racing.
Let's continue with our rundown. Laurens Vanthoor leads the GTD Pro category. Number two, KCMG, by 7 seconds. win a 20th overall there from Daniel Serra for Risi, who's 1 second ahead of Felipe Nasr for Pfaff, and Jack Hawksworth is in fourth for the 14 Vasa Sullivan car, just 2/10 further back, and then 5.5 seconds further back is Austin Sindrick. Those top five in GTD Pro have got a big gap on everybody else in the category, but they are running line astern, and they are at the moment having a cracking battle. This takes me back, I heard you say GT Le Mans-esque, takes me back to a memorable race at what is now WeatherTech Raceway, Laguna Seca, where for most of the race we had four or five GT Le Mans cars looking like they were tied together with bungee cords. It was an extraordinary, David Brabham was in there, there were some really big drivers back in the ELMS days. It was the de facto world championship. There was no FIA WEC in those days, and there didn't need to be, because Don Pernos's ELMS was it, quite frankly. And I don't think we took a breath for the whole of that 2 hours and 45 minute race as there used to be in those days. If you haven't seen it, look on the IMSA YouTube, official YouTube channels. There are some fantastic videos from American television, the coverage that they ran back in the day.
Finally, Elio Castroneves has been able to remove his two or three pit jackets, and he is climbing off the pit perch, and I'm sure we're going to see the number 60 Mayer-Shank Acura coming into pit lane as the sun breaks over Daytona Beach. Oh, you can hear the angels singing. Wonderful.
Elio couldn't have got in earlier on because he actually started to peel the clothing off about 45 minutes ago. It's just taking him to now to get down to just the race seats and everything else, I reckon.
Brilliant.
Beautiful sunrise over the top of Daytona Beach. There's just a little marine layer of cloud out there, and the sun climbs above it now. And Shea Adam has the Konica Minolta Acura with her in the pit lane. Shea?
Ricky Taylor is the only driver I have seen so far for any of these cars refusing to get out. Right behind him, the 31 Whelen Engineering Cadillac is in. That will be Tristan Nunez extracting himself and Mike Conway plugging in. Ricky just doesn't want to give up the opportunity to battle against drivers like his former teammates, Elio Castroneves, and from way back when, his teammate Richard Westbrook, who will be getting into the 5 JDC Miller Motorsport Cadillac. Still waiting on the fuel. There goes 28 seconds worth of fuel. And again, a very close call for the Wayne Taylor Racing Run Acura for Konica Minolta. It was a very close call for the LMP2 leader that came in. The Tower was the leader, right, John? Or did I made that up? No, Tower was not the leader.
No, Tower not.
No.
Yes,
no,
you're correct.
Absolutely.
Oh.
Was the leader. Quite correct. Ferdy Habsburg from PR1. And Devlin DeFrancesco.
We're doing our in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Beautiful view here from basically on the pits at the start.
Don't look at the sun.
At the start finish, basically at the start finish line. But we're now doing our best Pikes Peak. We're doing our best Pikes Peak Ari Vatanen impression right now to try and block it out, because it's incredibly bright coming over the skyline.
Do the old fighter pilot trick. Instead of putting the full hand there, you just put a finger over it so you still see everything around it, you know? But then you've got the parallax effect, and does that work with both eyes? Not sure about that. At IMSA Radio, if you want to get in touch with us, coming back to this race, 107.9 FM around the circuit if you're just coming back in, or if you feel the need to nip back to the car for a little warming brew of something, tuning it in round the track. Once again, great work by Mike and the team here. And he is Mike Trim, and the guys have always looked after us so well. Lads and lasses working very hard on shift to get us on the pier. It's quite eerie, actually, walking down to the BMW that is operating as our slumber box for the overnight hours, and hearing Bruce and Johnny's voices echoing around this big Daytona building which was pretty quiet at 2 o'clock in the morning. One or two people finding couches to just grab a few Zeds on. Staff going about their work, keeping everything spick and span, of course. And then in the Undercroft parking here, the sound of the cars from the track just a few metres away at the start-finish. And Bruce and Johnny rattling over the PA in there as well. Now, into the pit lane. This is Tom Blomqvist heading to Shea Adam. And the team are ready. They look like a team of sprinters ready to go for the 4x100 metres record.
No sleepy eyes over there at Meyersing Racing. Not at the moment they have had the blankets on. I mean, you saw Elio with his 47,000 jackets. And now it is time for him to drive a race car. So he'll get warm in a very different sense here soon. Tom Blomqvist already out of the car. Fueling is the last thing going on for new Michelin tires. And it is going to be slippery out there for Elio Castroneves. Just waiting on the fuel. Driver's side door is closed. Engine is revved. And away goes Elio.
Brilliant stuff. Thanks, Shea. Elio Castroneves was hopping about like he was about to step in the ring for a heavyweight boxing match. Well, he's maybe more of a flyweight, is Elio Castroneves, but he's certainly heavyweight behind the wheel. And that is effectively what he's going into here in this battle with the number 10 Wayne Taylor Racing Acura.
Peter,
go on.
There's no Queensbury rules here. This is a bare knuckle fight.
Oh,
this,
yes.
This is straight fighting. That might not be a straight course, and we're into Sunday morning, but there's going to be no behaviour like choir boys now for those who are at the sharp end of the field. Almost puts the right-hand side Michelins into the dirt. The sun will be an issue for this next portion of the race. It's just climbed above the cloud layer out towards the coast. And that big yellow ball of fun will start to warm things up. The track temperature by lunchtime is going to be really, really... There's not a cloud in the sky where we are. Yes, over the sea where the temperature inversion, and there's a little bit of a weather front, looks to me maybe a couple or 3 miles offshore from here.
Jordan Pepper is the man on the move at the moment in that number 70 Inception Racing McLaren. He's in second place at the moment in GTD, hunting down Zachary Robichon at the moment. The gap is now only half a second, and Jordan Pepper drove it, driving very, very well in this early sunshine stage. And I think Shadam has Tristan Nunez.
Tristan, what's it like to get out of the Whelan Engineering Cadillac after driving it through the sunrise and then sit on the pit box and get advice from Gary Nelson?
Yeah, it's been a very colorful first race with the Whelan Cadillac. So, you know, just taking it all in, trying to keep my nose clean. You know, competition is fierce out there, but that's why we love the racing in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship.
We've got Kyle Tilley off at turn five right now for ERA. That's the 18 LMP2 car. You had a lot of times in LMP2 last year. Are you glad that you're in the top class this year?
Yeah, it's nice to be back, I'll tell you that. And nice to be back in the championship winning car. So, I mean, Pippo and Mike are doing an amazing job out there. We still got a lot of time to go, and we'll see where we end up at the end.
Are they going to put you in for the end, Tristan?
I think I'm going to do one more, and then we'll let the veterans of this car take over the rest. But definitely not a bad first day in the office.
Good luck the rest of the way.
Yeah, thank you.
The local yellow that was covering Kyle Tilley in the Aero Motorsport number 18 has been withdrawn because he has managed to limp away, or the car is limping away from that incident. I didn't see the start of it, but I just caught the yellow lights. Our position here in the Haggerty Global Broadcast booth is phenomenal, particularly looking down towards that west end, because all of the signal lights are pointing towards us, and I had my attention drawn to the flashing lights down there whilst Shea was in the interview. Now, what I can't see now, so let's go to the technology for this and see where the 18 is coming across the start finish line. So whatever was ailing that car, Kyle Tilley has got it going again, and he's down into turn one there, Peter, staying down on the low side as the tower car went around him, but that was perhaps just a wee drop. Or has he slowed again?
It was a DPI car going by him. I thought, oh, that's strange, because the DPI and the LMP2 look quite similar, especially in this light as well. No, I think Kyle Tilley back up and running again. Of course, man from England, but lives over here. He's a very keen rally driver. In fact, he was doing some rallying in a Metro 6R4 not that long ago, the lucky boy.
Original, or had it had the motor swapped out for a Rover V8? That was a very common...
Oh, my.
Very common changeover in period. I remember a lot of clubman drivers doing that, because that 6R4 V6 engine, 4 valves per cylinder, was a difficult thing to keep at the top of it, at the peak of its performance. I remember seeing the debut of that car. Was very common in those days to get the works factories to come up and run as a zero or a double zero car up in Kielder, my old stomping ground. And at one rally we had, pretty certain it was Tony Pond in the 6R4 and Malcolm Wilson in an RS200, both running outside of the rally as development runs for the new cars. Extraordinary when you think about it. I've known Malcolm since those days. So when we're talking about M Sport earlier on and their potential foray into LMP2, Martin Haven and I spent a cracking evening with Malcolm and the family on the side of the stage at a Status Quo concert at Wembley Arena when Martin and I were doing the Race of Champions at Wembley Stadium. And I used to work with young Rick Parfitt, and when we realised it was there, I gave him a ring. He said, yeah, meet him at the stage door. In we went.
Now, just heading into turn one a moment ago, two Aston Martin Works drivers in two different cars, Darren Turner in the 27 Heart of Racing GTD Aston Martin, and Johnny Adam in the Magnus Racing number 44. Of course, they won Le Mans together back in 2017, but my word, the trust required. Darren Turner just snipping the nose off of Johnny Adam, but obviously Johnny able to trust Darren to pull such a move off. That was so, so tight there as well, but drivers of their calibre able to, a bit like fighter pilots, able to fly at such close quarters at the speeds that they do, it will never cease to amaze
me. It's the trust, isn't it? It's the trust the other guy knows what you're doing. And this is where spotters play such a big part. Some drivers I know, particularly in a place like this, they don't like the spotters talking to them too much. But what they do want to know is who is in the car they're about to pass, particularly if it's a pro-am class. You know, is it that dodgy bloke Hindorf who never looks in his mirrors? Or is it, you know, is it the pro driver Matt Griffin or Ollie Gavin or whoever it is? Because you want to know that before you make a commitment to go for a gap that might all of a sudden close because the poor driver like me is using all of his mental capacity just to remember what gear he's meant to be in and where his turning point is.
Now we have a change for the lead in DPI at the start of that pit stop cycle. The number 60 Meyershank Racing Acura was leading by 3 or 4 seconds, and it's flipped around. The Wayne Taylor Racing crew have got that number 10 car back on the go again with Ricky Taylor. Of course, they did do a driver change at Meyershank, so you know that might have been
shouldn't have made a difference, Peter, because it's fuel.
I know, the fuel
is the determining factor, isn't it?
But it's 5.7 seconds is the difference that Ricky Taylor leads from Elio Castroneves. So maybe Elio just taking a little minute to get up to speed.
The number 74 leading LMP3 car for Riley Motorsports with Michael Cooper on board has had something go wrong with it in Speedway turn one, but it has recovered. See if I can pick it out against the rising sunshine.
It looks like an iron brew can,
and it's coming into the pit, in the pit lane now for Michael Cooper. Shea Adam, it's gone straight past you, of course, Shea, down to the far end. Well, that's on time-ish.
Let's see.
Actually, no, it's not. It's about 10 laps early. Those cars can do around about 30, 31 laps, can't they? That's 24 laps, shit.
Fuel, sticker tires, no sort of urgency or panic from Bill Riley's boys and girls. Changing the front right tire now with the rear left. It's all very standard quo so far. Let's see. Fuel nozzle still attached. Yep, so it's not a shorter stop, I should say. This is a full fuel stop, and there goes Michael. I'll ask Bill.
Thank you, She had him down in pit lane, getting all the scoops for us as well. So the 74 Riley Motorsports LMP3 gets back going again. And well, of course, Carl Robinson in that machine winning this race last year in LMP3. A new addition to the WeatherTech Championship, the LMP3 class last year. Continuing on for this year. Now, Zachary Robuchon has got a bit of a second wind. and he has opened the gap back up to Jordan Pepper to 3.6 seconds. So Robuchon, the Canadian, driving beautifully right now as well. Zachary started racing when he was two, but not on wheels, on skis, of course, is very Canadian. So he's a ski racer for most of his formative years before jumping into a car as in his late teens. And of course, the reigning GTD champion, and at the moment leading the 60th Rolex 24 at Daytona. Shea, what have you got?
Bill Riley was kind enough to jump off the box and tell me with hand signals that it was a flat right rear tire. It was going down. They caught it in time. They were able to hustle around. Still on the lead lap. There's time yet to get back to the lead.
It only dropped to, I think they probably only dropped the second chair, actually, if I'm honest. Colin Brown's gone through for Core Autosport. Now, considering that that car was avoiding spinning vehicles down at turn six, a restart ago, that's not bad at all. Andretti Autosport, well, they've had their problems as well. They had some electrical issues, and they're only 51 seconds further back as well. John Creech Motorsport have dropped off the lead lap. Seb Priot's back in that and charging at the moment. The young Guernseyman. And then it's AWA, Kuno Whitmer. That's the top five in LMP3. Just over 6 hours to go. So stand by for some more Michelin Endurance Cup. The specialist. Oh, little bit of a lot up there from, that was the number 74 just back out there, Michael Cooper.
Yeah, maybe just getting the tyres back up to temperature. Well, update for the 02 Cadillac accessories machine, of course, behind the wall for repairs, and is now back out and running again. And Earl Bamber just decides, right, let's show what we can really do. 133.811 on lap 521 at this race as well. So straight back out there and trying just as hard, clearly. So showing the pace that they will have. Unfortunately, just not worked out for them today, that crew, but they'll be back.
Final set of interim points for Michelin Endurance Cup about to be awarded was where I was getting to with that huge sunshine in the face moment for all of the drivers, including our leader, Ricky Taylor. So he heads down to the Le Mans chicane on the back straight, renamed in a racing across continents kind of hands across the ocean sign of the ongoing partnership renewed for another 10 years. John Doonan was telling us when he was in the booth earlier on with the ACO Pierre Fion here this weekend, and Frederick Lecuyer, the new man at the head of the relatively new man at the head of LMEM, Le Mans Endurance Management, who look after the ACO's racing programs for them. Although that said, the Asian Le Mans series, of course, next year will be handed off to SRO, Stefan Rattel organization. So this is the last Asian Le Mans series that LMEM will be looking after. That comes up in a couple of weeks' time. Four races in effectively two and a half weekends in Dubai and Abu Dhabi.
Number 62, Risi Competizione Ferrari into the pit lane. Daniel Serra staying on board. The crew just waiting for fuel to go in. Service all complete. So all going very smoothly for that 488 GT3.
Still a good looking car, that,
oh,
isn't it,
it's
Peter?
A gorgeous car, yeah. It's a really, really special car.
I have to say, if I was pressed, it would be a front engine Ferrari for me. Probably a 550. I'd take a 575 at a push, but I always thought the 550 was nicer. I had the great honour and privilege of driving one of those at Croft when the 360 was being launched and the customers brought their cars down, and one of the customers said that I could have a go in his, and instantly fell in love with that, with the click, click, click on the aluminium gate. Something you also got on the early Audi R8s as well. There's another car that I think criminally underrated, still looks good now. That has become a really classic body shape for Audi, in the same way as, all right, not the same amount of history, I know, but 911 and the iterations of that car. Early 4.2 manual R8, that would be all right, wouldn't it? That would suit you?
Yeah, I think it would. Maybe a 5.10 V10 manual at a push.
I think I just like the sound of the V8 earlier.
It'd have to be the V10 for me. But
so, let's go down into the pit lane. Shea Adam.
Zachary Robichon is out of the Wright Motorsports Porsche. Finally, a Canadian getting out of a car so I can talk to them. It's Richie Leitz taking over from Zach, so an IMSA champion handing over to an ALMS IMSA champion. That's pretty cool. Fuel and four new Michelin tires for Richie. Oh, they're spoiling him. Windshield tear off. They're not even bothering trying to clean off the windshield, just starting anew. That tells you how low the sun is this morning going in through the infield and into the Le Mans chicane. The car has refired. We are waiting on the fueling away. I step out of the way as well. Richie gets heats in the rears, but those fronts are going to be sketchy because they had big Michelin stickers on them.
I'm told by Wickerbill it is the original engine in Kyle Tilley's 6R4. So excellent. Kept it stock. You know, you could give them away at the time. The Clubman version, and there was a Clubman version and an international version. The Clubman version, they sat around for ages. Some of them were converted to road use. And I have a memory, and I don't know if Simon Morris is listening or anybody from our old days at Autosport together. And by the way, massively mourning the loss of ad sales manager Gordon Henderson a couple of weeks ago. We were all together at Teddington Autosport. I have a remembrance of Haymarket, one of the Haymarket magazines, giving away a 6R4. And Simon Morris, we'd had it in a lockup for ages, and Simon Morris, I think, drove it out of there to do the presentation on the road through a sleepy Teddington on a weekend. Like, can you imagine giving away, right? You know, that was a WRC car of its day. Yeah. Oh, by the way, we've got a Puma. Ford Puma.
Puma. Yeah. Puma Rally 1. There you go. You're
brand
the winner.
But you could literally, you could have offered them 30 bob and a ham sandwich, and they would have sold you one in those days. They had them stacked up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Remember who? Let's go to Shea. She's got Zachary Robichon out of that Wright Motorsport Porsche.
Well, Zach, it's a pretty big honor to get the Sunrise stint with any team. It's an even bigger honor when you get to do it and you bring the car in with the number one on the door. How was it?
Yeah, I mean, the car was fantastic. Obviously, it was super interesting for me the first time doing this kind of night to daytime, how much the car changed. Took me a few laps more than I would have liked to adapt to it. But no, it was a great stint. Actually, it was fun to have Lawrence in the car ahead of me and the FAF car behind. It was like a little family reunion.
Now, I was tasked with trying to find a Canadian, so you're the first one I found to ask. Do you think there's any advantage in your day-to-day life currently involves, well, driving on icy streets every now and then? You got on the racetrack. It's kind of similar, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure this is more slippery than a foot of snow, if I'm being honest with you. But it definitely helps. It's just a question of being comfortable with the car moving around. And the other thing, too, is all these guys are frozen, and it's really not that cold.
Yeah, it's true. It's not that cold. I mean, I'm only in seven layers. It's fine. In terms of what you're going to do now, is the plan to get you back in the car before the end of the race? Do you need a break?
I don't know what the plan is. Originally, yes, but then obviously with the cautions and stuff, everything's kind of been set back a little bit. So, I'll have a quick drink and figure out what the guys, what they want to do.
Great job and good luck.
Thank you.
Meantime, Shea, first of all, I can't believe you seeing, oh yeah, it's not that cold, the
it's
person
not.
Who complains about being cold at Le Mans when it's 25 Celsius.
Well,
and the other Canadian team is in, the Pfaff are in down the pit lane, so you'll be able to grab another one.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to walk down that way too. It's not that cold. The secret is layers, and I've learned that living in Utah. And I am wearing 7 upper layers and 3 lower ones, so yeah, not too bad. Pfaff pit stop is just done as I walk around the edge of the pit wall. It is now Matt Campbell behind the wheel of that one, and Ozzy, who will be freezing in these conditions.
Well, he's lived in Germany.